This audio recording is a ministry of the Church of the Incarnation, a parish of the personal ordinariate of the Chair of St. Peter in the Catholic Church. We thank you for listening, and we invite you to visit us either in person in Orlando, Florida, or on the web at www.ordinariate.org. The following sermon was preached on Friday, June 19th, 2020, The Solemnity of the Sacred Heart of Jesus, by Father William Doc Holliday.
May the words of my mouth, meditations of all of our hearts, be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Whenever you look upon, meditate upon, find yourself celebrating again this mystery that is the Sacred Heart of our Lord Jesus Christ, we need to understand something about his redemption. Our Lord did not have to do what he did for us. It was not necessary. One word from the God-man, from our Lord Jesus Christ, just one word would have been sufficient to redeem all of mankind from every sin that was ever, is being, or ever will be committed. Just one word. This is the glories of the redemption of our Lord Jesus Christ. But just like we can talk about things a whole lot, if we do not prove them, talk is meaningless. We have to appreciate that, yes, indeed, one word from our Redeemer could have saved us and got us into heaven. That was not enough for him. He wanted to show his love in a much more profound way, hence his passion, hence this horrible story of what happened to our Lord, culminating in this Roman soldier piercing not only his side, but through his very heart with a lance. It's not enough to talk about things. A naysayer could have said in the future, well, how do you get to heaven? Well, Jesus said I'll get there because he said he would redeem me. That's not enough, saying it. You need to prove things. He proved it by having his heart pierced for us. We understand that opening in his side and into his heart, we understand that it is a place for us. The Roman soldiers didn't stab him. He opened a place for us in his heart, as I referred to in the rosary today. We can always ask this why, and there are really limited answers we can give in why divinity does what it does, why our Lord had to endure what he did for our salvation. Let's just suffice it to say that some of them cannot be answered, but others can. Some of these whys can be understood. Why was his heart pierced? Because, again, he's got to prove something to us in our natural life. We are creatures of sight, sound, hearing. Okay, we have to appreciate the fact that we know stuff by our own experiences. That's why we have the scriptures, for instance. God condescends to use human language to communicate infinite possibilities for us. But we don't understand them all because we're finite. We have to appreciate that. When our Lord's side was pierced, he does teach us something because of our own experience. How do you know a person's dead when their heart stops beating? Okay? A lot of people say, oh, no, it's their brain activity and everything. Brain activity can cease. It can be flatlined. And if you keep that heart beating, guess what? That body can be sustained indefinitely. Everything's not over until that heart stops beating. Surgeries, you take a heart, you stop a heartbeat, you have to some way simulate what it does. And what is that? It courses our blood through our body. The scriptures tell us that in the blood is the life. That's hard to get your head around, really. When Cain slays Abel, what does our Lord say when he confronts Cain? What have you done? Where's your brother? My brother's keeper. Your brother's blood calls out to me from the ground. And throughout scripture, we get this idea that is blood. That is one of the few dietary rules to which we are still bound in the New Testament. You cannot drink blood. That does not mean rare steaks and all that kind of good stuff. Okay. I mean, there is some culture where you drink blood. I mean, actually drink blood. That is prohibited for us. You can't do it. Why? Our Lord said, because life is in the blood. our heart is, we know, we can understand in our nature that that is the center of our lives. But when you take it to the spiritual extreme, when our Lord says, "For it's there, without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sin," that just doesn't mean wounding someone and having drops of blood come out. It's talking about giving life. There is no redemption. There is no forgiveness of sins without an ultimate sacrifice. This is the heart. Again, we understand it from a natural perspective, but when you look at it from a spiritual perspective, it even gets more profound. Because if we look at the blood as containing our life, our very life, we have to understand that it is infinitely connected to our souls. Our hearts are the seat of our spirits. I mean, even our own languages speak of that. What do we say when we're really happy? You know, the psalmist, "My heart rejoices." What do we say when we're really sad? "My heart is broken." Why do we use words like that? Because it has always been an innate understanding that this lifeblood that is coursing through our bodies because of our heart is not only the seat of biological life, but it is, in a symbolic sense, the seat of our spiritual life. The heart is preeminent when it comes to our spirituality. It is a preeminent seat of love within us. You know, if you come here for more than a couple of weeks, I'm always chiding Hallmark. I talk about Hallmark love and everything. What is the illustration par excellence on Hallmark cards that speak of love? The heart. Why is that? Because every culture, it's like that. Because we know that that is the center of things. For our Lord Jesus Christ, who took on our flesh, who received a truly biological heart from the Blessed Virgin Mary, he too exhibits this. He gives us this understanding of how integral the heart is, and it is the last thing that happens to him in his passion. He's dead already. Isn't that just enough? The soldier looked at it and said, and when he looked at the gospel today, when he looked at Jesus, he's breaking the legs of the two thieves, when they came to Jesus, they saw he was dead. Roman soldiers know dead, okay? Any soldier knows dead, all right? It's unmistakable. Person's dead. It wasn't said. They thought he might be dead, so they just want to make sure. You know, he saw he was dead, and he ran that lance in his side anyway. Our Lord is doing something there, even after his death, to draw us into that heart. Like I said before, it is an entrance into his very life. When we get this image of the Sacred Heart that was given through visitations to Saint Margaret Mary, you know, we have this heart, and it is indeed inflamed with love for us. Our Lord is ever desiring to consume away the dross with the flames of his love and bring us into his heart. But the flames are not the only symbol that are on his heart. You have a cross that speaks of the passion that he endured for us. You have a lance wound that shows that it wasn't just his side that got pierced, but his heart also. But then there's that crown of thorns. There is that crown of thorns around the Sacred Heart of our Lord Jesus Christ. And that is just not reminiscent of what he endured with the crowning with thorns. He specifically told St. Margaret Mary that that crown of thorns around his heart is the grievous pain that sinners cause him. The grievous pain that sinners cause him, that means every time we do things that are not in conformity with God's will, particularly grave sin, it hurts our Lord Jesus Christ. It kind of pains me occasionally to sit in a confessional and hear, you know, I mean, we all go in there and say the same things, but we're always trying to get a little bit better. We're always trying to tweak this a little bit and tweak this, a little polishing. Sometimes we backslide, so to speak, occasionally. But he's waiting there with that burning love for us to absolve us of these sins. But for a person to come in and there is seemingly no improvement, you know, I will bring it so far, and I say, you know, not only am I missing contrition here, I am completely missing a firm purpose to mend your life, But do you realize that every time you do this, you spit in our Lord's face? You might as well take a crucifix and spit on it because you're saying you don't care what he did for you. Or you are using gross presumption in taking his graces for granted. That crown of thorns symbolizes the pain that we cause our Lord Jesus Christ. And not just the pain of our sin, another thing that he emphasized with the outrages that occur against the Blessed Sacrament. Anybody who's done any study whatsoever of Eucharistic miracles understands that every time there is a Eucharistic miracle where there is, in more modern times, a test can be done on the miracle itself, the flesh that is present is always cardiac flesh. It is always the flesh of Jesus Christ's heart. When we receive the Eucharist, it's a, oh, I hope I get some of his heart and not his hair or his fingers. It's Jesus Christ's heart. When we understand this, we start to understand why this day is celebrated. Thank goodness it's still on a Friday, but it also indicates how we start messing the flow of things up when we start changing things like Corpus Christi, because the Feast of the Sacred Heart of our Lord Jesus Christ has traditionally always been celebrated on the Friday, which is the octave day of Corpus Christi, which is supposed to be celebrated on the first Thursday after Trinity Sunday. See, there's a method to the madness with this liturgy thing, all right? Yeah, praise God, we still do it on a Friday, because why was it done on a Friday? It was done on a Friday because that is the day when our Lord's heart was pierced for us. So we have to appreciate that aspect of it. But on that octave day of Corpus Christi, it focuses the Sacred Heart and the manifestation of the Sacred Heart, because we can hear the stories of his pierced heart. We can see an image of his Sacred Heart, but the Eucharist is where we partake of his Sacred Heart. This is this whole integrity between the Blessed Sacrament of the altar and the Sacred Heart of Jesus. There is a special way in which the Eucharist is associated with the Sacred Heart and our Lord's passion and his love for us. I read one commentator say, you know, if you take a magnifying glass and take it outside and the sun's out, what can you do with that magnifying glass and the rays of the sun? You concentrate it. You can concentrate it so hard you can burn things with it. Okay, stuff doesn't generally catch on fire because the sun shines on it, but you take a magnifying glass, it focuses the rays of the sun. The Eucharist, the Sacred Host, is the magnifying glass on which the rays of our Lord Jesus Christ's love come through and are concentrated in our lives. When you look at it in that picture, this should foster an appreciation for the veneration and the worship that we have for the Blessed Sacrament at the altar. This picture of the rays of God, because we see the rays in, for instance, the Divine Mercy image. You know, those rays that emanate from the Sacred Heart of Jesus, they are focused for us in the liturgy. So that's when we are properly disposed spiritually to come before our Lord and to venerate him. This is why folks like Cardinal Arinze said, if you really conceive of it, we should crawl on our hands and knees, we should crawl on our stomachs before it. Because the outrages against his Eucharist, because of what it is what grieves him so badly. And if there was ever a time in modern history when the Eucharist is being, there are outrages galore against the Eucharist, look around you in a lot of parishes. When the body of our Lord Jesus Christ is placed in a plastic baggie, or when our Lord's body is given to a person and then they're told, now you can get out. Like the last thing we're going to do here. That's an outrage. And they are happening everywhere. And they pain our Lord Jesus Christ. When we look at it, when we look at things like this, is what makes them both overwhelmingly glorious, like the Eucharist itself, but how it should be overwhelmingly crushing to you to even hear stories of our Lord Jesus Christ's body, blood, soul, and divinity being treated the way it is being treated. This is the Sacred Heart, the flames of love that all of those wounds. And if you really look at it, there is one symbol for his love and three for what he's done for us and what he still continues to do in grieving over what we are before him. But he is always waiting there because there might only be one symbol of his love, but that is a consuming flame that can consume all of those things that we do that grieve him. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost.